Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Julie Lenzer-Kirk. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Wayne.
Julie is a repeat guest on the show. She's been on before talking about her very exciting book, The Parentpreneur Edge, What Parenting Teaches About Building a Successful Business. We've talked about that. We've talked about some of her entrepreneurial activities. But having experienced the power of entrepreneurship firsthand, she has now founded something called the Path Forward Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, which we're going to talk about today. And it is a nonprofit that develops and delivers innovative programs to expand economic opportunity for women through entrepreneurship, because we all know that men have plenty of opportunities, right?
There's just some different needs there, and we can talk about that.
All right, excellent. And the passion for this, as I understand, was fueled from several years of instructing the so-called Activate program at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Campus?
Yep. It started as a side job.
So tell me about the Activate program, first of all. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, well, it was 7 years ago, actually 2005, when they got a grant from the National Science Foundation. And the idea was to help mid-career women. Women were largely underrepresented in technology entrepreneurship. And in fact, about 1% of technology companies are led or run by women.
Okay.
So we know that there's a lot more women out there capable of doing that.
I represent a bunch of women entrepreneurs who run technology companies, though.
Yeah, but the sad part is that out of all the technology companies, very few of them are run by women.
Huh.
And so the National Science Foundation founded, through their Partnerships for Innovation program, they funded the Activate program, and it was at UMBC that it was started. I got recruited as one of the inaugural instructors, and what started as a side job after watching the power of the program became an obsession, pretty much. Yeah, and in fact, I just got back. I had class last night, and just listening to the women, how they've transformed themselves over the year from thinking about it, maybe they want
to
do this, and now they are doing it. And one of the women last night said, if somebody had told me a year ago that my idea was bad or that there was something wrong with it, I would have probably dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
She said, now I realize it's not personal. It's just business. And I'm going to take their feedback and I'm going to refine what I'm doing and I'll figure it out, but I'm going to continue to push forward. And that's just powerful.
That is powerful. And you're teaching these women how to become powerful entrepreneurs.
That's right. How to take control of their own future. We call it activating their future.
So tell us about the Path Forward Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Tell us about, how it came into being.
Well, so last year, as we were, there was one of our former instructors actually started an Activate program in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down to help kick off the program, build the community. We brought some of our alumni down. And the power in that room, the energy was so incredible. And seeing the women from Maryland connect with the women from Texas, we realized that what we were doing up here, while we've had over 100 women through the program here, was just not enough.
Okay.
And so my co-founder, Renee Lewis, and I decided that we were going to take this leap and we were going to start this nonprofit. And so here I am in startup again. Like I said in my book, it's like having a child. You forget the pain, so you do it again. And even though it's a nonprofit, there's a lot for me to learn. Some of the things are the same, the how hard it is to start up something. But
yes.
Then I find that because this is so driven from a passion, it just makes it all worthwhile.
Isn't this really a business that you're in, though? I mean,
it absolutely is.
As a nonprofit, you're supposed to be doing it not for profit.
That just means that I don't get to take home the residuals at the
end
of the day. And
that's right.
And we thought about that a lot when we formed it as a nonprofit, because we wanted, if we are able to make profits on this, we want it all go back to the mission. So we would love to create a seed fund to help these women to patent their ideas or to license technologies. We were just passionate about the mission.
And there are a lot of incubators around the Washington, D.C. area, including the Dingman Center at the University of Maryland, George Mason University's organization. But this is unique because it's designed to help women.
Well, it's unique in that it helps women, but also it feeds into all those other incubators. So it's really a pipeline builder. And that's as we start to branch out and we're expanding the program, we're starting one in Ashburn, Virginia, through GW.
Right.
And what we find is that the communities, it's a very much a community program is that this fits well into what's already out there. It builds pipeline for all those women's groups and for the incubators and the universities to commercialize technologies. And there's nothing else out there like this.
So this program is basically offering courses and teaching women how to become successful entrepreneurs? Give us some examples.
Yeah, it's a year-long program. Okay. It's very hands-on and applied. It's taught by experienced entrepreneurs. And the women, we teach them, you can come in with an idea for a business, you can come in with a problem that you want to solve, or you can come in just with a huge desire to start a business. We'll help you refine your idea, find an idea, learn how to, you know, mine all these. You know, there's a secret that there's billions of dollars worth of research patents sitting out there waiting for somebody to come and commercialize them. So we teach people how to do this.
How to find the technology that they might be able to apply? Is that the idea?
Right. And then we take them through the feasibility process. So instead of, we're really teaching them to fish. We're teaching them how to go out and vet ideas and to fail fast, you know? So if this idea is not going to make a good business, you know, it's okay if somebody calls your baby ugly. Move on and to the next one.
Hey, I resent that. The idea of trolling for patented ideas and technologies that might be viable, is that the only focus, or do you also help people who just might have a retail bent or are interested in franchising? Is it really only focused on technology?
Well, it's more technology enabled. So I would
say your background.
Yeah, yeah, I had a software company,
right?
But it could be services utilizing a technology. But you don't have to be a technologist or a geek like I am to make it work. We have one woman who came 17 years out of the government,
okay,
and had no experience. She was a master's in linguistics, found a stroke rehabilitation device that was sitting there in a prototype, already proven to help people regain the strength of their arm. And she partnered with the inventors, two women at the university that knew the technology. She didn't know it, and built a scientific advisory board and brought this product to market.
And was successful.
Yeah. She's got international sales.
So how many successes have you had out of this nascent program? And it's brand new.
Well, we've had over 30 companies have been started, and we're still counting because some of these women, it's hard to keep up with them.
Is that right?
Probably over $20 million have been raised in investments for those companies.
And the investments are being raised through angel investors or venture capital, or
we've
what sources?
We've seen it all. We've seen friends and family, state-based funding, small business innovation research grants,
right, SBIRs.
Mm-hmm. You name it. One woman even sold her car to license the technology. So it's amazing where the money's coming from.
How do you find this technology? I mean, just give us an example of how you would search for and find one of these technologies, these patented technologies.
Well, all of the, by law, these universities and research institutions have to make these available for commercialization as part of a, I think it's in the 70s, 80s, Bayh-Dole Act. And so they're out there. They're not always easy to find. So we teach them, there's some online, but then we also teach them how to approach a tech transfer office and say, this is what I'm interested in. And really the most interesting potential discoveries or inventions or commercializable products out there are maybe haven't made it yet to the internet. And so building relationships with these different tech transfer offices, kind of giving them an idea of where your passions lie, what you're really interested in, and teaching them then how to really work with inventors to license or work for the tech transfer offices to license the technology.
Yeah, because there are specific rules that each of the universities and the research institutions have about licensing their technology and whether and
yes,
the extent to which they can participate in these ventures. And I've dealt with that myself. So this involves biotech as well.
Absolutely. We have a number of biotech companies, medical device, clean energy, IT services. And as to your point, you know, some women come through the program and they decide that maybe franchising is the best option for them. We have one woman who masters in mechanical engineering and decided to buy a painting franchise in Colombia. She now runs CertaPro Painters of Colombia.
But you helped her learn how to basically set up her situation so that she could start her business and
absolutely
be successful.
Absolutely.
Fascinating. We're talking with Julie Lenzer-Kirk, who is the co-founder of Path Forward Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Julie, why is this so important? I mean, focusing on mid career women in technology-based businesses?
Well, there's a couple of things that we found over the course of the program. First of all, once you hit mid-career, you've got a lot of great experience, but you're used to being in the know. You're used to having all the answers. You're used to being the expert. When you step out from a corporate situation into an entrepreneur and you're kind of doing the opposite, it's a learning curve. And it's not always comfortable because you don't know exactly what to do. And
you don't know what you don't know, too.
That's right. And so the support and the networks, and it's a different network that you need, too. You need funders. You need, you know, providers, good early stage legal help to get your company off the ground. And you don't usually have that when you're in corporate. So we provide them the safe environment. We provide them with connections to potential investors, service providers, mentors, and a lot of entrepreneurs who've been there, done that. And there's just nothing that can really replace that experience of others, because entrepreneurship is one of those things. I also teach a graduate course in entrepreneurship, and there's so many different ways to get it right. There's so many different paths that are, you know, that are successful, that I think the best thing that you can do is get exposed to a wide variety of success stories and see that they're all different. And then you can forge your own path, your own path forward,
course. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's all about opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's not about equality or women's rights or anything like that.
No, no. We took a look at, and this is actually why I stepped out of my for-profit entity and are focusing on this full-time, because the time is right now. Women make up over 50% of the workforce, as we've heard. They're getting educated, actually, in droves.
Rate.
Yeah, I think for every two men that graduate from university, there's three women.
Right.
And so there's a lot of educated women out there that are either underemployed, unemployed, or just really frustrated and have no place to go. And at mid-career, oftentimes you've raised your kids, you've kind of done the corporate thing, you've learned that. And many times these women are looking for a transition. They're ready to transition.
So what type of women are we looking then to invite to the program? You say mid-career, that's sort of nebulous. I mean, that means that a college grad would not qualify, right?
That's correct. Generally, we wouldn't bring a college student through this, although we do have many of our women partner with and bring college students in as interns. So there's absolutely an opportunity. But we look for women who've been out in the industry for a while, 5, 10 years, you know, maybe 20 years. Even we've had a woman who was getting ready to retire from IBM, came through the program to start her own company.
How do they find you? How do they learn about this program?
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges, because these women are not organized. There's not an association of mid-career women wanting to start a business.
Right, exactly.
So we go out into the community. Not yet. We're working on it. We go out into the community. We try and do as much networking as we can, you know, ads and different types of papers and really just spreading the word. Our alumni, our graduates are our biggest evangelists, because they talk to the power of the program. And so we rely on them a lot to identify other women like them.
You know, I think just giving you ideas on the air, I'm talking to outplacement firms and the outplacement divisions of big companies who are considering layoffs. This would be a great opportunity for the entrepreneurial types who might be looking to start something new to get into something. And we're talking about Path Forward Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship with Julie Lenzer-Kirk. It's an amazing phenomenon that's occurring in society today. The importance of community support, though, to you is critical, right? I mean, we have to be able to look at people in the local communities to help you get the word out and help you educate the local population, right? I'm going to participate. There are others. How do we build that community support for Path Forward?
Well, absolutely. Each program that comes up, so the one that's coming up in Ashburn, Virginia with George Washington, we're reaching out now to local community service providers, mentors, and to really get them involved in the program as guest speakers, advisors, because it does take a village to build a business. I mean, entrepreneurship is a very social endeavor.
And so lawyers, right?
accountants, marketing folks.
Marketing people, HR people.
Yep, technology development.
Technologists.
Really, really key. So there's partnership opportunities too, because the person starting the business does not have to be the technical person. It could be the business person. It's okay. Really important.
If people want to know more about the Path Forward Center, how do they find you?
Our website is probably the best way. It's pathforwardcenter.org, and you can learn about the Activate program there and about some of our other programs. And there's an excellent video on our Activate page where you can hear from our alumni about what the program's done for them.
This is excellent. Thank you so much for doing so much good for the community, particularly the community of women entrepreneurs who are out there trying to establish themselves in this very competitive environment.
Well, thank you, Wayne, and thanks to you for all you do for helping small businesses.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're listening to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and again, thanks for listening to the show. Join us next week for a special topic and a special guest. Have a great week.